Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. I gave the background last Sunday morning. Let's hit it fast. The temple is finished. Solomon, although David wanted to do it, God didn't allow it. Solomon has now finished the temple. Elaborate. By the way, the Bible says God does not dwell in temples made with hands. You can't put God in a box. You don't wear him on a chain around your neck or a cross in your pocket. That's not how it works. But there was a manifestation of God, Shekinah glory, in the Old Testament tabernacle. Now it's going to be moved to the temple, and Solomon's the work is finished. So now it's time for worship. They're asking God to show up in mighty power. And God said, I'll put my name there. God said, it'll be a testimony to all the Gentile nations around you and all the nation of Israel. I'll put my name there, and my name will be upon my people, and I will bless you. So they offer 22,000 oxen. They offer as a blood sacrifice 20,000 sheep. They were shouting because they said, and they quoted correctly, His mercy endureth forever. God made a promise in those feast days, that, man, I will be there. I have chosen this place. Verse 12. Then he says, he makes a promise to Solomon. And that's the text that I used last Sunday morning, and I use a portion of it here this morning. He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Let's all stand together for a quick prayer right now. Everybody standing. Our Father, we are in desperate need of revival, a spiritual awakening in America, in Michigan, in Chippewa County, even at Fundamental Baptist Church. God in heaven, we desire a refreshing breeze from heaven's shore, the breath of God upon your people, upon this ministry. We're not interested in maintaining status quo and having a religion. We desire your presence. We desire the power of God. We desire the salvation of souls and changed lives and people growing in grace. And I pray for that person that maybe has become stagnant and it's a status quo kind of thing. God, convict them. Oh, God, make them hungry and thirsty, and do what you have to do in our lives and the lifeblood of our church, that we might be your church and your people. God, may we not be satisfied with what the world has to offer. God, would you give us a real desire for revival? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If any country needs revival, it's the United States of America. At one time, we were a Christian nation, and there are still Christians here, and there are still ministries striving to do the work of Jesus, the work of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. That's still going on, but man, it's being diminished. When you recognize, and this is a fact, you check it out, almost 8, just over 7 out of 10 people in America have no church affiliation. They never darken the front door of a church. That means in Chippewa County, 7, almost 8 out of 10 people, they don't go to church. And therefore, there's a hard left turn taking place in our country spiritually. We need to understand that. Of the 38,000 people in this county, think about it, 28,000 are unchurched. We need revival. And for us to sit back and pat ourselves in the back and say, look how the church is growing and look how many people are getting saved. I'm telling you, it's a drop in the bucket. There are more going to hell every day than are getting born again every day. We need a heaven-sent revival. It has to be from God, and only God can give it. It says here in verse 14, if my people, And I may just plant there for just a moment. This is a message for Christians. What is wrong with America is not the world's fault. It's the church's fault. What is wrong in Chippewa County is not the world's fault. They're doing what's natural. It's the church's fault. Churches have gotten cold and apathetic, and there's no prayer meeting. There's no Sunday night church. People just kind of set up, kick Christ to the curb, and now just got that regular maintain, hold the fort kind of religion. Man, that's not what we want. He says, if my people, he says, you got to remember this. If pestilence comes and it comes from the hand of God, it's either due to chastisement because we're out of step with God, or God's just trying to build us and make us greater. But he says, listen to this, Solomon. When pestilence comes, when drought comes, when disease comes, and it was an agricultural society, when these things happen, if my people, you better remember this promise. If my people, those that bear the name of Christ. Now, he was talking to the Hebrew, the Old Testament Hebrews there, the seed of Abraham. But fast forward to the New Testament, he's speaking to children of God. He's speaking of Christians, those that bear the name of Christ. If my people, that's who the message is for, will humble themselves. And I preached on that last Sunday morning. I won't belabor it this morning. I'll just say this. Some of the proudest people in America dress up on Sunday morning, care, put a Bible underneath their arm, and walk in the front doors of church. Never bend their knee before God, never bend their will to God's will, just doing their own thing, bullheaded, stiff-necked, just ignorant, spiritual ignoramuses, just thinking they know more than God. Man, don't go there. There'll never be revival if that's our heart. If we think we got it all together and we no longer, so much so that we no longer need God. You say, I don't think that. How much time did you pray last week? How many minutes did you spend in prayer all of last week? And do you really need God? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and the message this morning is prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Man, there's a verse you can dream on. In other words, God will answer prayers, big prayers, little prayers. He'll answer prayers in ways that we never dreamed possible. It'll be about things that we never thought would ever be accomplished. If this morning's message, these few moments together, I can challenge you to get close to God. I can challenge you to start asking for great things from God. If this morning somehow I can get you to the place where you'll be challenged and you'll confess your sin and you'll walk with God so that you'll just be seconds away at any time during the week, seconds away from an audience in the presence of the King. If I can get you to understand that you can pray without ceasing, you can shoot prayers up to God like, God, don't let me have a heart attack during this flood right now. Or in your prayer closet where you really get a hold of God. If I can make you hungry for the things of God that you can get if you will start to pray, man, this message will be on the road to the revival. Church of 1,000 people in Upper Michigan, not without God, only God. Either that or a beer tent, you know, one direction or the other. And we're not going that direction. The power of God. 1,000 people, it can happen. But man, we got to get serious. George Mueller, 50,000 recorded answers to prayer in a short life. Missionary to India, surrendered, laid for hours prostrate on his face, asking God to send revival to India. A missionary, greatly used of God, dead at the age of 46, literally wrung his life out in the cause of prayer and for revival and evangelism in the nation of India. I'm not talking about just answered prayers, 50,000 recorded answers to prayer. That's amazing. That is amazing. Praying John Hyde. I didn't even know his first name was John for the first few years of my ministry. Everybody talked about praying Hyde at Bible school, at Bible college. Praying John Hyde. Boy, we need some praying John Hydes today. People that can get a hold of God. People that can go deeper and bigger and more intense in prayer. You can travel the world on your knees. You've got sons and daughters in the other part of the world, in the other part of the nation. You can travel the nation on your knees in your prayer closet if you'll get serious with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, Solomon, you remember this, and you tell the people this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And I want to say this. I don't want to scare you, but I got 10 points this morning. They're bullet points. They're going to be real quick. I'm not going to elaborate any of them. It's kind of like your boss gives you a list of things. It's kind of like the honey-do list, right? There's no real love in it. It's just boom, 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 get these done. And you know, as a man, you know what you do. You kind of set that aside, and yeah, I might get to it. Well, this is kind of that way. There are bullet points. It's really not an expository message. For that, I apologize. But I'm going to give you Bible truth. It's going to be 10 points about prayer. 10 bullet points on prayer that'll change your life. If you'll just some seeds for thought, you know, just some things to hang your hat on, just some things to get a hold of, because you know that you need to know this. We worship the Jesus that died on the cross. We worship a prayer answering God. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. What a wonderful God we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke in chapter 18. Luke in chapter 18. Two men, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Now, this pride thing. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Rather than self-righteous, self-serving praying, God bless me, the publican beat his chest and said, God, mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that is praying. That is praying. And I would say this in the first bullet point here this morning, very quickly, make sure you're part of the family of God. If you're not born again, God's never going to hear your prayer other than the prayer of repentance. And if good things have happened in your life, it's just the mercy and the goodness of God. And that's all it is. God is not required to hear our prayers until we get born again. If you're praying out to God and you're not a child of God, you've never been born again, there's never been a time or a place where you receive Christ as your Savior, when you're knocking on heaven's door, you're not knocking on your father's door, you're knocking on somebody else's door. You're a stranger. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God is far from the prayers of the ungodly, of the unrighteous. So first of all, before I go anywhere else with this message, make sure you are born again. And if I haven't told you once, if you haven't heard it in Sunday school, if you didn't have a teacher that brought it up this morning, I trust you did, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son. And you couldn't make it to heaven in your own merit and in your own good works. You could not fulfill the law. So that's why a redeemer came. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross. He paid for your sin. He did it 2,000 years ago. The love gift of Calvary. And he paid for my sin. And all you got to do is at some point in your life, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that he is the very God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At some point in your life, get saved. Receive Christ. Set your religionity aside. Set your good works aside. None of it's good enough. Set your pride aside. Humble yourself. Come to the only Savior and he'll save you and he'll give you eternal life instantaneously. You'll be born again, born from anew. So you don't even need to listen to the rest of the message. If you're not saved, this is what you got to do. And at the end of the message, I'll invite you to Christ. Don't put it off. Number one, family first. Make sure you're born again. Number two, don't forget to pray. How am I prayer working? Forgotten prayer is not prayer at all. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. And that's why it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people pray. If my people humble, if they forsake their ways, I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. That's a big if. And there's so much that goes on today that is never prayed for. James in chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse, let me get there myself. Verse 2 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. This is important. Hear me. I'm talking to every born-again Christian, everybody that's a member of Fundamental, everybody that just attends Fundamental. You got to hear this. Wishing for something is not praying for something. Just say, man, I hope they get saved. I hope I make it. I hope I get that job. That's just wishing. What do you mean you hope? You wish. Praying is getting down on your knees. Praying is bowing your heart before God in the audience of the King and specifically bringing the need to Him and making supplication and saying God and asking God. A wish list is not a prayer list. And a prayer list is nothing but a wish list until you get to the praying part. So many times you have not because you ask not, and it's forgotten prayer is all it is. It's just a forgotten prayer, and there's no praying going on at all. And by the way, prayer takes a disciplined mind, a warm heart, and purpose. Prayer is hard work. I don't know if you know that or not. How many of you ever tried to pray all night, an all-night prayer meeting? Raise your hand if you've done that. Yeah. All right. That's hard work. How many of you have ever tried to pray for an hour? Man, that's tough. It is. More times than not, when we've had all-night prayer meetings, I've ended up dozing off right here. You know, it's hard work to pray. You know why? Because the devil turns pale at the sight of a saint, the smallest saint on his knees praying and asking. By the way, heaven shouts. Gets the attention of the saints in heaven and the angels and, of course, the very Son of God. Forgotten prayer. So make sure you are doing some praying. Look at 2 Chronicles again. Oh, and I'm going to quote chapter 4 of James in verse 3. Some of us are spiritual adulterers. We're not faithful to God. Psalm 66 in verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord is not with me. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And here's why many prayers aren't being answered. Verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before thee, before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, and will I cast out of my sight, and will make it be a proverb and a byword among all nations. So listen, if we're a people that is not honoring God, if we're not obeying the scriptures, God's not obligated to answer our prayers. What ends up happening is these prayers kind of, they don't reach heaven. It's like the pipeline gets plugged. It's like the call is dropped. We're disconnected because our fellowship is broken with God. Say, I'm born again. There was a time. There was a place. I received Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's all the mercy of God, all the grace of God. I owe it all to Him. I understand that. He's the Savior. I'm the sinner, and I received Him, and now I'm His child. But God doesn't answer my prayers. Maybe it's because you're not obeying Him. You're not walking. You're not following Him. You're doing things that aren't right. You know it's not right. And you just love it. And you're doing it. And the flesh loves it. And that's what you're all about. And so therefore, you're not getting answers to your prayers. If God would answer John Hyde's prayers, 50,000 of them on record, a lot of them the very same day he prayed it, if God would do that at the turn of the 20th century, 19th to the 20th, to a missionary in India, why wouldn't he do it in the 21st century? John Hyde was a committed Christian. He loved God. You don't work your way to heaven, and you don't work to gain favor with God. I'm not implying that, but God blesses His obedient children. They have His ear. Forgotten prayer, maybe forsaking sin. We're not following God. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. We're to walk with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 17. Our prayers many times reveal a very inadequate view of God. We'll pray in a life or death situation, but we won't pray about a difficulty in our life. We just wish about it. We hope about it. We don't bring it to the throne of God. I would tell you the best way I know how this morning, God will never let you down. I was 19 years old when I finally surrendered to preach. 19 years old. And I'm telling you through thick and thin, God has never let me down. So many answered prayers. So many things that I could testify this morning. 39 years here at Fundamental Baptist Church. 43 years of surrendered life. Well, you know, I mean, from my 19th year, I struggle like everybody else. But I'm telling you, in all of those years, I look back and say, God is good. God is good to me. We fail in our righteousness. We fail in our so-called righteousness. It's a facade. It's fictitious. It's fake. It's phony. It's a failed righteousness. And we think that that's somehow we're gonna gain favor with God by being religious. And that's not it at all. Not at all. As a child of God, we are called to be prayers. We're to be forward in our prayers. Matthew 6. Go over there real quickly. Matthew chapter 6. I want God's best. I trust you want God's best. You think of your family. I hope you want God's best. And in order to get God's best, man, there does need to be that surrendering. And there's a matter of faith there as well. Matthew in chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." You need to know this. Prayer is not a show. Prayer is not a production. That's not what prayer is. He's talking about a prayer closet here where just me and God, just you and God. Verse 6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So it's between openly. So it's between you and God. And God's not deaf. You don't need a bunch of repetitious. Prayer is not chanting. That's what the pagans do. They just chant. If that's what that's why we don't read our prayers. I'm not going to read somebody else's prayer and think that somehow that opens the ears of God. That's not how it works. God is looking and waiting to hear from your heart. He's looking and waiting to hear from my heart. You have specific needs. You ought to have a prayer closet. That's a place where you get alone with God. It might be under a tree somewhere. It might be in your automobile on the way to work, but a specific scheduled time where you're just doing your best to touch heaven. And God will be there for you. I'm going to skip way ahead in this message. But know this, Psalm 2:8 says that we are to pray and ask, and God will give the heathen for an inheritance. A church of 1,000 people, that's only going to happen with God. But if we pray about it, and by the way, I'm a dreamer. I confess to that. I'm a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. And enough of my dreams have come true. Man, I know there's a God in heaven. And to not be a dreamer and to not be a visionary, just to sit back and maintain status quo, that's to be a defeatist. Man, you don't want to be there, not as a child of God. Lift up your eyes. Pray in God's will. I'm going to shorten this up. In Jesus' name does not mean you tack the words "in Jesus' name" on the end of the prayer, and therefore that makes the prayer holy. That's not how it works. God, give me a brand new Mercedes-Benz. In Jesus' name, amen. Where is it? That's not how it works. In Jesus' name means according to the very will of God. God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us and he blesses whatsoever that deed is. But it's according to his will. It takes great faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. A great God. Great faith in a great God. I've been thinking about this week. We need faith. And Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed. You can move mountains. It's really not how big our faith is. It's how big the God is who we are praying to. It's just simple trust on my part and your part. We worship a big God. I said this earlier in the message. I think sometimes our prayers reveal how inadequate our view of God is. we can come to God and he hears our prayer. He answers our prayers time and time and time again to full victory. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. In closing, 2 Chronicles and chapter 7. Prayer can do anything God can do. God is omnipotent. Therefore, prayer is omnipotent. George Mueller, 50,000 answered prayers. I believe that worked out to like 4 answered prayers a day. Yeah, 3 or 4 answered prayers a day. These are the recorded ones. He did Bible praying. I'm going to end with this. I want to challenge you. He did Bible praying. Here's how George Mueller prayed. You can read his biography, autobiography. You read it. He'll tell you. He prayed the Bible. When God would lay something on his heart, he never prayed for it until he found it in the Bible. And he'd study the scriptures. And when he found it in the Bible, he'd place his finger on that passage of scripture, and then he'd go to God in prayer. Bible praying. Your lost loved ones getting born again? You can find verses for that. That is Bible praying. Him meeting the needs of his people. Him providing daily sustenance, bread every day. That happened often in George Mueller's life. He'd put his finger on the passage and he'd pray and say, God, here's what you said. Bible praying. That's just not a shot off in the dark. That's not just not a whim. I would challenge you this morning, start praying the Bible. Start getting a hold of God. You may not be able to preach. You may not be able to sing. You may not be able to teach, but you can pray. You can get along with God. And God can use you and use you greatly. And by the way, he's there for help in time of need. He's our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, the last little bit here of 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. Verse 17, I'll read it almost without comment. It's hard for a preacher to read scripture without comment, but I'll make it through most of it, all right? And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, you see, he's requiring something, a little bit of obedience. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Our fault, not God's. America in need of revival. That is our fault, not God's. God has not failed. We have failed. America not being evangelized by now. Our fault, not God's. Your loved ones not being yet born again. Our fault, not God's. See, I don't like that. We need revival.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.